glad to see y'all here tonight. And that last part, just the testimonies of some of the brethren in Austin that send their greetings, and they want to thank you for your prayers. Some of them made it clear they thank you for sending missionaries to Poland to preach the gospel. Before we left, they left, in fact, another sister we've known in Warsaw days. She says, tell the brethren, send more missionaries to Poland because Poland needs good gospel preaching churches. And her and her husband know full well because they were the ones responsible for the church in Warsaw, which, as you know, just didn't make it through. And recently we preached for in Austin and coming in Poland, in fact. They told brethren in Poland who were going through a little bit of a struggle with the transition, you know, to being on their own. And he said, one of my big mistakes when I quit being the pastor in Warsaw was I didn't realize how hard it would be to find a church like this. And he's been looking for the last 14 years, and he's now coming once in a while to Austin in the town and meeting with us and even preaching. So when she said that, she was sincere, because there's just a real dearth of gospel preaching churches, as some of these people you see in the video that didn't work out, of course. They're just fed up with all the ecumenicalism in these churches and the prosperity gospel stuff going on. They're just frustrated. Hey, is my mic on? Hey, turn it on or put it on? Put it on. I think I might be dancing around up here or something. Sorry, guys. I wasn't paying attention to you. Is it on? Okay. Okay. I'm sorry about that. I'm not good at paying attention to people waving. Huh? Up higher? They tell me there. All these instructions. Okay. Sorry, guys. Okay, I'm going to have to get with here because Mike's going to get mad if I take all his time. Okay, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed forth to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. And there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return to Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. Why am I reading this? Paul didn't go alone. He said he had some people accompanying him into Asia. And there may be some better verses, but this was a scripture that I wanted to just use to kind of get you an idea of a mission trip. And in the video, we showed you some of the pictures from the mission trip. So I just wanted to, I'll try to be brief, Mike, I really will, get some ideas or some reason for a mission trip. I have not ever done this, but this last mission trip was a real blessing, I think, to us for sure. I hope it was to those of you who came, and if you didn't come, well, maybe a chance next time. But anyway, this passage here, we have these people going with Paul into Asia, and my question would be, how much would you have paid to go on this trip with Paul? Or any trip. I mean, can you imagine traveling around with Paul preaching the gospel? Now, you may not want to go because you got stoned sometimes, and, you know. But you know, I mean, I said, but you know, he made it through all those things. I mean, look at this. And or think about what God has done to this church. And those of you who are shown up here recently, you may not know all the stories, but man, we can tell you some stories, and they won't be 180,000 tracks like Josh said. We tell the truth. We do. I mean, people did pull guns on us. People did throw things at us. They did try to run me over with a bus. I mean, they did come out and beat us up sometimes. I mean, it was crazy. Back in the 80s in Mexico, those were, I mean, I still shake thinking about those days, because you literally were shaking in your boots because you didn't know where the next rock would come from, or the next, you know, who knows what might happen. But you look back and, my goodness, when those things are happening, and at the same time, people are coming up and saying, hey, tell us more about this. What are y'all preaching about? You know, we did like those questions. We didn't mind those questions. You know, we weren't afraid of questions like that. Well, we're glad. Those were some amazing times. They were tough. They were stressful on our families, on our marriages, on our relationships. But in the end, you look back and say, wow, that was amazing. And if you never made it to Mexico during those years to visit, you missed out. I'm sorry, you did. I know it was probably not easy for anybody to do it, but I think you would have been tremendously blessed just to be there, and I am so glad, I'm so blessed to have been a part of that. I just can't thank God enough just to be in that place at that time. And so, I want to encourage you today with a few things, explain why I think it would be good for you to take a mission step. Okay? So, 1 Corinthians 16, I'm going to try to get through this pretty quickly. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 17. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. They have refreshed my spirit, Paul says. These people came and refreshed my spirit. Imagine Paul needing to have his spirit refreshed. Paul? I mean, come on, Paul. Paul doesn't need anything. He's self-sufficient, right? No. He needed his spirit refreshed. When you're down in the dumps sometimes because whatever is happening, or stress, or no fruit, or problems with whatever, you need some refreshing. And you know what? On a mission, when a group comes on a mission trip, it refreshes our spirit. It is encouraging just to have a few people in the home, people on your side, people who come not to tell you how to do things. And you know what? That's important. We have all kinds of people telling us what to do, how to do things, how not to do things. But to this day, I don't remember one single time when any person from this church, even the pastors who have come, not one time have come and said, how come you're doing this? This is dumb. Why don't you try doing it my way? No. Just refreshing our spirit. What can I do to help you? What can we do? Ah, now I see. Can I help you do this? Can I help you paint your house? Brother Lindell helped me paint my house. Help me work on my house. He didn't come and say, okay, boy, let me tell you what to do. No. He came and refreshed me. He refreshed my spirit. It's refreshing. So just think about that. Maybe you'll get nothing out of it. I don't know. I don't even want to ask you to get anything out of business. I can tell you, it refreshes our spirit. Okay? The sacrifice you make to come is refreshing to you. I know it's a sacrifice. I realize that, and I know it's expensive, and I know many of you have very little vacation time, and I know that for some of you, it may be your entire vacation, and that's a sacrifice, but it is appreciated. It is refreshing. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Colossians 4, 3. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds.
Paul needed prayer. Imagine that. Paul needs prayer. Yeah. Paul needed prayer. And we need prayer. But you know what? A mission trip helps you understand better how to pray for us. And I am thankful that in this church, I know you pray for us, and I do not belittle those prayers. But believe me, you'll be able to pray better, I think, if you come and visit and you'll see what things we have to deal with. And when I say this honestly, we don't want your pity. That's not the point. We don't want your pity. We volunteered for this. No one who will tell a gun to my head. We volunteer. We don't want your pity. But you'll be able to pray. And we do need your prayer. As much as we want to be there, and as much as we're glad God has put us there, we need prayer. We need patience. To deal with co-workers. That's my co-workers. They need patience to deal with me. Pray. You know, it helps you understand what we deal with. To work together. Patience to wait for God to work. Patience to not give up and just hang in there. You'll find out. Because it's not always like you may think. We need wisdom. We need open doors. We need prayer to figure out the language. And I am thankful for your prayers in that area, because without your prayers, I don't think anybody can pray. I'm sorry, Magda, but that is the craziest language on the planet. It's nuts. But you know what? Like Josh said, it can be learned. You can learn Polish. And I thank for your prayers. But you'll be able to pray better when you go and you hear these people saying all this stuff, and you think, I can't get a word of that. I mean, I can't even figure out one word. What are you? And you realize, wow, that would be quite a task. But so I'm going to be praying for you guys to be able to speak this language clearly and understandably. So it helps you understand by being there. You better understand the needs. And like I said, it's not pity. And I'm not even talking about financial needs. That's not the point. The point is, you see what the mission field is like, and you understand, okay, they need prayer because this is something that I would not be able to do this easily. I would need prayer too. Well, we're just like you. We're men of like passions. We need the same prayers that you would need in that same situation. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. A mission trip will help you learn to appreciate what you have. And I don't mean to say that we're suffering. That's not my point. I don't consider myself suffering. I don't have a master bathroom. I wasn't here, but I heard. But you know what? Most people come back to America and say, wow, pretty good here. Not so bad. We appreciate your church. And a lot of us came here when this thing was already going. You didn't see the struggles with, you know, 3 people, 4 people, 5 people, and then 10 people, and then back to 2, and then up to 20, and then down to 5, and back and forth. But you go to the mission field, and you get in the beginning, and you see, wow, this is not so easy. You know, these guys are out there preaching, and it takes weeks and months to get a visitor. And you realize, wow, this church we have here is pretty nice. And it makes you appreciate what you have. It's a problem also because you realize, you get over there and say, you mean you can't have a gun over here? Add that to your excuse, Josh. I can't go. I can't take my gun. I'm not going to go without my gun. Really? You're going to let that be an excuse to not go because you can't take your favorite arsenal? I'm not number one. You want, oh no, I can't give up my arsenal, right? No way. Really. And maybe God isn't telling you to go. But you might appreciate your arsenal a lot more. You get over there and say, thank God I got my gun, you know? How do you survive in a home without a gun? By the grace of God, just like you do here. The Lord doesn't keep the city. You are cheating yourself. All right, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. Philippians 4:15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even the man Thessalonica, he sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now this is exactly the testimony of this church. That for Paul, this is the only church that was taking care of him when he departed from Macedonia. But this church was like, wow. Other people didn't, but they rose to the task. Much like this church. And going on a mission trip, I think you will get a better understanding, a better appreciation for, or a better understanding of the need from this. You go to a place where you don't have billboards everywhere with gospel messages, or radio programs, or TV programs, or churches on every corner. We have, I think, a total of 5 churches in our city. I say church is very, very lightly, very, what's the word I want, liberally, because of simply that. I mean, I'm serious. They're so hooked up with the Catholic Church these days, or they're preaching the prosperity gospel all the time, and so it's pretty pitiful. And yet, you go to Mississippi and you realize, wow, people do need the gospel here more than in America, in the sense of there's not many people doing it. They need the gospel here on your street, yeah, but there's not many people preaching in these foreign countries, especially like Poland, so you get a burden for them. And you'll get a burden not necessarily to go, because like I said, maybe God doesn't want you to go, but maybe you can have a part in something. Just do something. I mean, pray. And send an email. Hey, we're praying for you. Do you have any requests this week or today or anything? We met a sister that's not from this church, but we met her in Poland, and she's back in the States, and she writes my wife like on a weekly basis or maybe a monthly basis. Hey, today is your day. What can I pray for you today? And she's got me on her list, and I'm just thankful for people like that. And you get a burden. You understand that, hey, this is important. I showed a picture of a New Testament and a Bible. And many of you know about the Bible Project that God just kind of, I don't know how to say it, but he just kind of fell into it, I guess, in a sense. And if it wasn't for this church, that would not have gotten done. And I say that sincerely. You people not only prayed, but you gave generously to help us finish that, especially the last 5 years. And it was by the grace of God and by this church that got finished. And you had a part in that. Just before we left, there's a mission that contacted us a few years ago and asked for permission to print this Polish Bible, because they want to print it and just give it out for free. And they did a 5,000 one year and 5,000 next year. But this last month, they spent 70,000 full Bibles to Poland to be distributed for free. I have people writing me emails, hey, thanks for these Bibles. I didn't do anything about it. I didn't provide them. I didn't get them printed. We just said, hey, yeah, take this text, print them as much as you want. And they printed 70,000 Bibles. And they're being distributed all over the country for free. Another mission of the Gideons in Germany called me up one day and they said, hey, if you want to print the New Testament and we want to use this Polish text, can we do this? I said, yeah, go for it. Okay. And they're sending 120,000 of those to Poland. You had a part in that task. And Paul says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. That's on your account. You invested in something beyond your place, your home, your area, your language. And you had a bit of faith, and none of us knew what would happen. Trust me, we have no idea. But you know, God has just been good and allowed it to be a blessing. Acts 11:19. I'm almost done here. Acts 11:19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the word Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and they exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they will speak unto the Lord. What happened? God did amazing things. They sent Barnabas to go and see what's going on. Wow, something happened over there. You know what you do when you go on this trip? You have a chance to see firsthand what God might be doing. Like I said, if you'd come to León, Mexico back in the 1980s, you would be blown away even today by what was happening. It was just amazing. You see firsthand. You don't just read a letter. You don't just hear some tale like 180,000 tracts got passed out. You know. You come and you find out. Wow. They really are mad at you people. They really do want to come in here. They really do love the Lord. They really do get out and preach the gospel. These believers, they are on fire. And you see it for yourself. It's not just some, you know, glowing report. You come and find out for yourself. And then you say, come and see. I'll just give quickly the last few points and I'm going to take some longer. You get to fellowship with believers in another country. And that's a blessing. And you imagine, I mean, it is so amazing. You go some other place you've never been to before. You can't speak the language. But you hear them singing Amazing Grace in another language. You know what they're singing. And you just get all happy and excited. You say, why? Because you know what they're singing about. There's no doubt. And it's a blessing just to meet with believers in another country. You get to actively participate in getting the gospel to thousands of people. When you saw those pictures, your people came and you put in these tracts. You can't speak Polish, but you know what? You put a tract in the mailbox. And some of those people came. In fact, one of them that came to this meeting, he's a case, he's something else. But as soon as he saw, I said, hey, by the way, did you get a tract in the mailbox or did somebody give one on the street? No, I got my mailbox. I said, well, where do you live? He said, I live on Benica Street, you know, and I recognize that because me and Jasmine were on that street and we looked at that name, like, that's not a Polish name. How do you pronounce that crazy name, you know? That was a street that we had. I said, Jasmine, this guy got a tract from us. They put it in his mailbox. Like, oh, that's so cool, you know? You actually have a chance to get the gospel to people that you would never have given the gospel to anyone. And that's exciting. You never know who you might see in heaven because of that. God said that his word would not return void, so we just get the word out. You might find out also, the last thing, you might get a better idea whether you are called. Now, I mean that both ways. I'm sincere. I have met missionaries that have come to Poland that after 5 minutes, I knew. This brother should not be here. They're not ready for this. Their family's not ready. Their marriage is not ready. Their mind is not ready. They are not. They were told something different. They were told that people are lined up for miles to hear the gospel. Maybe. I don't know. But that's not the case. They're not breaking down my door to hear the gospel. They're not. You'll find that most of them, they just retract and they just say, no, thank you. You try to talk to them and now they get mad and walk off. I'm not trying to paint a bleak picture just because I want your pity. I don't want your pity. I'm just saying, you come on a mission trip, you find out that it's not like, you know, people are just begging for the gospel. I wish they were. Maybe next week it'll happen. But you come and you'll find out reality. And you find out, well, you know what? They're not begging for it here in America either. Maybe some places they are, and if God calls you to some other place to beg for it, go for it. But you'll find out whether really you are called. You'll get a glimpse of reality. You might see the persecution is too strong and say, you know what? I thought about that place where Paul gets dragged out of town and they stole him outside the town, you know, and all the guys are looking at him like, now what? You know, he's laying there and he gets up and just takes it all off. And, I mean, they're probably thinking, what are we doing? Kill, you know? I'm not sure this is worth it. You might, you know what? I'm going to go back home and just pray for you. I don't think God wants you there. I'm going to pray for your protection. I pray for your wisdom. I pray that God would just give you, you know, good doctors and a good, you know, a good ambulance driver, because you're going to get killed one day. But at least you'll be praying for us, you know? And come and find out really the full picture of what it is. And I think whether you go back and stay and preach there or come back here and just pray, either way, I think you'll be blessed. Amen? Okay, Mike, you're up. Sorry about that.
Praise the Lord. He has given us the opportunity to serve Him. And Brother Mike, you know, talk about the faith to see what is valuable in life and willing to go serve God. I appreciated Brother Mike for many years, all of my years growing up, somebody I looked up to. And I was always impressed at how fast he was at working, right? He was always very impressed with me, how fast he was. Then I met his dad. I went to Pachuca one day, and his dad was 80 years old, somewhere around there. And he raced Marco up a flight of 100 stairs and won. And I was impressed. Oh, no, y'all tied, right, Marco? Yeah, I know. That sounds a lot better. But, that was impressive. So just, you know, if you ever want to race Mike, don't do it. Not even if he's 80 years old. We're going to have some special music, and then Brother Mike, please come up and give us the fun.
Bless the Lord.